You don't even have to go to the concordance to find it. Yes, sir. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verses 15 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively, and then when I'm done reading, I'll pray. Then we'll have a special, and then I'll preach this morning. I really believe we'll be out right on time this morning, other than maybe just a little past noon due to the invitation, but I want to help you today. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you, Lord. This morning I thought, tens of thousands of hours I've studied, spent time with you, worked over these 35 plus years of preaching and studying and working, and our people today get to glean from that. I hope someday they'll understand how wonderful it is to spend that kind of time with you. But Lord, you have a truth for us today. I pray that you'll help us. Help us to sit up and pay attention and to listen, not just with our ears, but with our mind and with our heart, with our spirit and with our soul. May we get from you what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love the story of creation. By the way, God created the earth. Man is so stupid to believe that all of this happened over millions of years through evolution. You realize that that idea never even came about till the 1850s. It wasn't until some God-hating, godless person named Charles Darwin went to a place and came up with this, by the way, theory. It was not scientific. It is still a theory and has never been proven to be science. It's never been true, never has been, and never will be, because God created the heavens and the earth. You know, how could the Colorado River make the Grand Canyon? You have to understand something. At the top of the Grand Canyon, it's over a mile wide in most places. The Colorado River is not even 100 yards wide in most places. Now you tell me, how can something carve a mile wide swatch at the top and not at the bottom? Well, there was a lot more water back then. Where'd all the water go? Everybody doing all right? By the way, I know creeks that have been around for hundreds and thousands of years, and they're no deeper than they were before. You have to understand something. We are believing too much of a lie. By the way, if we evolved from monkeys, why are the monkeys still here? Just so you know. Well, we are a certain subspecies. Do you ever notice how they always have a weird answer for a question they cannot answer? Well, there's a missing link. Yeah, right between your ears. God created the earth and made it the way he wanted it for us. All of its features and diversity are there for us to enjoy. God made all the plant and animal life as well. He made the oceans and all of the life that is in them. He made the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets, and all of the galaxies, and he made it to work together perfectly. Why is it there's only one planet in the entire universe where life can be sustained? God made it for man. The Bible also says that God planted a garden in a place called Eden. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse number 8 later, it said, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." Wow. That means God knows something about farming. Amen. God knows something about everything because he is the source of all knowledge, just so you know. You say, where was the Garden of Eden? Well, from all of my study, best recollection, it is somewhere near the Iran-Iraq area, and probably in Iraq, towards central to southeastern Iraq. That is where the Garden of Eden was. Well, I heard that Africa is the cradle of all society. You heard wrong. Just so you know, Africa is not the cradle of society. The Middle East is where it all began. Now, let you say, why is that? Because God needed the world to repopulate and to be able to get around. Do you realize that Israel and the Middle East are the only spot between three continents? You have Europe to the north and west, you have Asia to the east, and you have Africa to the south and west. 58% of all the land in the world are in those three continents. Between North America and South America, there are only 28%. So God had the ability to get people to spread out in the greatest numbers and diversify very, very quickly by putting them at the crossroads of those three continents. By the way, that's why Israel is going to be and still is such a valuable commodity in the world today. It is at the World Trade Center of three continents by land. Now think about that. It can be reached by land, by air, or by water. It is a central hub of the entire world. Now, God placed the beginning of man in the center of the world's largest landmass so that God could spread man around the world. Now, God made man, look at me, fellas on the front row. God made man with a job to do. I want you to listen to this. We don't quite understand. We think Adam walked through the Garden of Eden, eating as he wanted and just looking at things and picking fruit and eating it as he felt like it. But God made Adam with a job to do in Eden. It was his job to take care of the garden. At that time, there was no weeding. I could choke Adam right now. Sin brought weeds. But before then, there was upkeep, there was pruning, there was probably the harvesting of crops, all those kinds of things. But God also made it to where man was to name all of the animals in the world. Now, that doesn't mean this one is Trixie and that one is Ellie and that one is this. It was not that, but nobody knew what to call those animals. God left that up to man to decide what that would be. Here's what you don't understand. If God brought a zebra and then brought a donkey and then brought a horse by and then brought a mule by, if you're not careful, you're going to say, well, I already named those things. And how are you going to remember what you named it? So things had to be written down. Pictures had to be drawn. There had to be some way of filing those things. Do you realize there are 8.7 million different kinds of creatures on the earth today? Now, I don't know about you, but I do know you well enough to know this. You're not going to remember all 8.7 million yourself. Then you add to that, in most of those species, the female looks different than the male. So then you've got the male and the female. They need drawn, colored in, all of that. And it wasn't done etched on the sides of stone walls with chisels in a wood stick. Say, well, what about the cavemen? No such thing. They lived in houses like you and I. Did you know they still build stone houses today? Did you know they used wood back in that day as well? You say, well, what about the Bronze Age? What about the Iron Age? Can I tell you something? Man, God gave man all the knowledge necessary all the way back in the Garden of Eden. That went over like a lead balloon. God and man worked together on this project. God came down daily and walked with man. You say, what did they talk about? I have no earthly idea, but with over 8.7 million critters to name, to draw pictures of, to categorize, and everything else, I imagine Adam had some filing questions. Imagine he had some questions about, now God, do these all go together, or is this different than that one, and why did this work this way, and why God ever made stink bugs, I'll never know, but we'll figure that out later. Whew. And the mosquito, God bless the mosquito. I'm going to kill Adam. But aren't you glad Adam didn't call the mosquito an elephant and an elephant a mosquito? You'll catch that one a little bit later, all right? Now, I say that to say this. Probably there was a lot of filing questions, and there were questions about, do these animals go together, or is this different than that, and how does this work, and all those things. Do you realize there was only one rule in the Garden of Eden? God said, Adam, you can freely eat of everything in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now listen to this statement. I don't know if that means there was only one tree or if it was one kind of tree. Okay? I would not argue with you either way. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where it implies that there was only one of those trees on earth. I believe there were many. If you don't believe that way, it's not going to change the doctrine at all. It could have been just one, but the word tree can be plural as well as singular. Now, listen to me. God said you can eat anything. You can freely eat of anything of all the trees, except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Now watch this. We don't know how long there was between creation and God making Eve. Personally, I believe it was a period of time. How long? Wait till you get to heaven and let God tell you. I have no idea. And anybody that can tell you that they know how long it is a filthy liar. They're just guessing, just so you know. But I do know there was a period of time because Adam was naming all these animals. They had spouses. They had a male and a female. By the way, you'll find out Adam didn't say, God, why didn't you make me a female? God came to man and said, it's not good for you to be alone. Not one time did Adam go to God saying it. God came to man when man was busy doing what God wanted him to do. And I'll preach on that at a later time. Why is it in Genesis chapter 3 that the devil came to Eve first? Could it be that the whole time Adam worked, maybe for many, many, many years, while God and Adam talked, the devil would try to dissuade Adam to disobey God? And Adam just decided, I've had enough of you, dude. I'd rather spend time with God than you. Just get out of my way. No one knows why the devil went to Eve first. You say, well, she was more emotional. That didn't take place till after the fall of man. That was a result of sin. A woman's emotional and hormonal instability is a result of sin. It was not there before sin. We shouldn't blame everything on instability of emotions. Everybody doing all right? It may have been that it was just the fact that Eve would stop and listen to the devil. I personally believe that. Too many of us stop and listen to the wrong thing. We listen to people say negative things way too much. May have been that Adam, just through the years, got tired of the devil and didn't listen to him. He had heard the attack over and over and over again. But Eve, we do know, stopped and listened to the devil on more than one occasion. Now, we don't know why Satan decided to go through Eve. But we do know that Eve gave in. She took of that fruit and gave to her husband, who was also with her. We think that in our minds that Eve was on one part of the garden and Adam was on another. He came home and said, I think I messed up. You better do this too. Oh, no, 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 no. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, you find out that it says that Eve took of the fruit and ate it and gave also unto her husband with her. He was standing right next to her and failed to stop her and failed to protect her from doing wrong. That is why Adam is credited with the sin and not Eve. Now, listen to this. Before man sinned, life was really just, I'm going to use a term here. It's not meant to hurt anybody's feelings, so hang in there. But life was generally just black and white. It was clear. You can do this, but don't do that. Say, well, which is black, which is white? You choose, I don't give a flip. We just know they were polar opposites. It was right and wrong. It was black, it was white, and there was nothing in between. But when sin entered the picture, black and white merged, and most of the world became gray. Man's ability to see was clouded, and now black and white, for the most part, had become gray. I call the sermon Living Black and White in a Gray World. You see, we have many new Christians that used to have sinful habits. I'm not going to tell on anybody. I'm not going to expose any of your sins that I might happen to know, but let's say that, and I don't know that this is true, I'm just talking right now, all right? I'm not necessarily telling the truth, I'm using an illustration, all right? But Joe's a new convert in our church here. Let's say when Joe got saved, Joe was drinking and Joe was smoking and Joe was chewing tobacco, beating his wife. No, she beat him. No. Well, let's say that Joe had a foul mouth. Every other word was a curse word. He drank. And I don't think that all those things are true. But let me say this. When he got saved and got into church and got a hold of God, God got a hold of him, and a lot of those things started changing. Did you know that if Joe's out today and he smashes his finger with a sledgehammer and he says something he shouldn't say, he's still wrong. But now he's not saying it every other word. It just slips every once in a while. We would call that growth, correct? You let me get up here and slip and say something I shouldn't like that, and I should be fired. Brother Mike used to be a drunkard. He hadn't drank in a week. I mean, been many years. But when when somebody stops drinking alcohol, a lot of times it takes them a while to wean off that stuff. And it could be that guy that used to drink, I don't know, what, a case a day or an 8-pack or I don't even know how they come, just so you know. But let's say somebody drank 8 to 10 beers a day. If they get down to one a week, we say, man, you're really growing. You let me go drink one beer a week and I should be fired. Now, wait a minute. Why is it good for one and bad for another? Because black and white in a gray world depends on which direction you're coming from. Everybody see that? Okay, I want to help you today. For one, it's growth. For the other, it's backsliding. So, black and white in a gray world is not always black and white. Many of us people think that we live black and white lives, especially as we get saved and start growing in the Lord. We really think everything should just be just this way, black and white, nothing in the middle. Can I tell you something? It doesn't quite work that way. I've been saved a long time. This week, I believe it will be 44 years I have been saved. I got saved as a 4-year-old child right at the New Year's time. And I remember it well. I think it was New Year's Day, 1972. That's the best I can tell, but I don't exactly remember the date on the calendar or what necessarily the year exact, but may I say this, I remember exactly what happened. Now watch this. In those, let's say, 44 years, I've grown a lot. Did you know in 44 years of being a Christian, in 35 years of preaching, in tens and tens and tens of thousands of hours of studying and walking with God and reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God, did you know that not everything in life and not most everything in life is black and white? We think as Christians, though, we can live black and white. Shouldn't be any difference. Here's the trouble. Most of you would know this. I'm colorblind. Don't ask me what color you're wearing. All right? I see color. But my wife and daughter will tell you, I don't see it like everybody else sees it. Say, then, how do you match your clothes? My wife and I have a system. And she's the only person in the world I trust to tell me what color things are. Some of those things, I still disagree with her because I cannot see it. But I trust her. So if it doesn't match, it's her fault, not mine. Unless I didn't listen to her. Now, wait a minute. Look this way and let me help you. Did you know that, okay, I have a brown shirt and a green shirt. And I'll swear, there's no difference in the two. They both look the same color to me. And I mean, they look the same. So I have, when I put that on, I have absolutely no idea which it is. When I go to wear those things, I have to go to her, wake her up at 4 a.m. and say, what color is this? No, if I'm going to wear it, I check the night before and find out which one is which. Or she'll iron them and say, okay, the brown one's here, the green one's here. Super, I can remember that. Make a mental note. You say, why? Because I don't see it like she sees it. If I put the green ties with the brown shirt, you're going to know I didn't ask. Or vice versa. Now, wait a minute. To me, it looks fine. But it doesn't look fine to everybody else that can see color right. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that spiritually speaking and practical experience-wise, not everything is the same? Did you know that as a 48-year-old man that's been married and reared 3 children, I see life differently than Thomas, who's a senior in high school? He thinks he knows the answers to all the questions. That proves he doesn't. you know, when you get to college, you know who could solve all of the world's problems? Every college freshman. They know everything. It's amazing how smart a college freshman is till they graduate from college and find out what they knew isn't what they knew. We see life differently because we view it through different eyes. Did you know a five-year-old sees no problem with eating cake, candy, ice cream, and cookies all the time and not eating vegetables and no meat? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say why? Because they're looking at it through different eyes. We understand why that doesn't work. But they don't. Now listen to me very carefully here. When men and women disagree with one another, it's not a matter of hormones, it's a matter of we don't see life the same way. Just so you know. It's not a matter of, well, I'm right, you're wrong. No, we're not looking at life the same way. Fellas, just because your two-year-old disobeys doesn't mean every time they do that you got to beat the snot out of them. You know, my wife taught me when my boys were a year and a half, 2 years old, they're walking around the house and like every other kid, they saw shoes that were 10 sizes too big for them, put mom's high heels on, walking around the house. I didn't worry that I was rearing a sodomite. That's what children do. They grow out of it, trust me. It happens. You say, what is that? It's called the investigation of a child. Now, if I put my wife's shoes on, we got problems. Number one, I can't get my big clawed uppers in them little things. Number two, I have no desire to put her shoes on. Just like when my daughter, when she was little, decided she was going to wear my cowboy boots. They were like hip waders. It was fun. There was times I put her in them. Say, why? Just to watch her trip and fall and try to stand back up, and the toes are going every which way, and it was great. She'd have one pointed that way, one pointed that way, try to walk. It looked kind of funny, you know? Now, wait a minute. She can't do that anymore. Praise the Lord. There was nothing wrong with it as a very small child. It was part of finding out what does not work. Now, today, I want to show you that there is right and wrong. There is some black and white, but you can't live strictly black and white in a gray world. You cannot. And I want to show you what I mean. Number one, black and white is a skeleton. The outside is as individual as people. The black and white is more of a skeleton to hold something together. Did you know if you had no bones, you couldn't do what you do? You would just be a blob. Some of us are blobs with bones. But imagine how much of a blob we would be without bones. If you had no spine, you couldn't do anything. You may be able to live, but you would be a bowl full of jelly from the waist to the head. And some of you would be a quite large bowl. You see, you have to have a bone structure. Let's see here. Brother Joe, stand up for a second. Did you know that his bones and my bones are virtually identical? But what's wrapped around them isn't. You can have a seat. They'd rather look at me than look at you. Now, wait a minute. Did you know our basic frame, our skeletal frame, there would be just fractions of an inch difference. How tall are you, Brother Joe? Okay, he's the same height I am. That means this, our bones are virtually identical in size. Now, what's wrapped around them? There's a difference. The volume wrapped around them is different. Now, wait a minute. Our general frame is the same. We have basically the same skeleton. I don't think he's missing any fingers yet. I'm not either. Now, I've got some that are cracked and have been broken, and I've got some other issues. I got a chainsaw mark and on that kneecap right there, and a few other things. I've busted my head open more than once, and a few other things. But wait a minute. Our general makeup, our general frame would be identical. But what's on the outside of that, and our internal organs are virtually the same as well. Maybe a difference in size, but they're virtually the same. His, though, because of genetics, may be prone to one thing that mine are not, and mine that are not to his. Black and white is the skeleton. Our individualness is what's wrapped around that skeleton. It cracks me up. Science wants to say, well, back before the Ice Age, we had these colossal animals called mammoths. They were a hairy elephant. How do they know what the skin of that thing looks like? All they have is bone. They've never found any fur from them. They've never found any skin from them. They've never found one intact, just so you know. It is man's way of lying to you to propagate evolution. There's no way they can tell you that a mammoth had wool all over it. Everybody doing all right? By the way, you'll find out most of those bones that they say come from those animals, those are man-made. They're not real bones. Did you ever notice none of those were found before about 1850, 1860? When did evolution come about? Moving on. Truth in the Bible is a skeleton on which we build our lives. Now look at me. Look this way. There is a foundational structure called the Word of God. Did you know that there is only one way to heaven? That is through Jesus Christ, not your works. Truth is we are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But can I tell you how gray the world is? Look how many denominations, how many churches teach something opposing what the Bible says there. We have taken truth and clouded it. Even the Catholic Church will tell you, well, we get saved, but Jesus is a part of it. No, Jesus, according to the Word of God, is not a part of it. He is it. Man, by sin, has clouded truth and turned truth to gray. What that Bible says, it means God's able to say it. God knows how to say it. And we're just supposed to obey it. Did you know God's order is salvation, baptism, church membership? Did you know there are religions that teach it's baptism, church membership, and you get salvation by that? Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. You get any of those out of order, and it's wrong. Did you know that God's order is you grow up, become an adult, you date someone of the opposite gender, not one that you think is the opposite gender, but you date the opposite gender. Then you get engaged. Then you get married. Then you have a physical relationship. Anything outside of that is outside of God's order. Period. We get in trouble. By the way, and once you get married, you stay married and only to them so long as you both shall live. Okay? Some of you did not know that before, or you've been divorced. That's okay. You're not a lesser person. You've made some mistakes. Let's go on. Let's go forward. But stay married to the one you got now. Everybody doing all right? The skeleton grows and matures. The only difference would be maybe the length of the bones and where there's been some minute fracturing and breaking. But did you know that you can break a bone and keep on going in life? Our little piano player, Hannah, she's in junior church with her mom and dad right now. Hannah fell off her horse a couple weeks ago and broke her arm. Broke both bones in her forearm. Did you know she didn't die because she broke her arm? Now, from the rest of her life, she's going to have marks on her bones if you took an x-ray that will prove she broke it, but it won't be too much longer, and she'll be back up on that horse, riding that horse, if she hadn't been up on it already. Because I can hear her say, well, I can hold on with one hand, I won't break that one again because it's in a cast. That's the kind of girl she is. Wait a minute. Did you know the Constitution of the United States of America is a skeleton? It was a document that was to expand. As we expanded, we're not to change it. We're supposed to live by it. The problems in America today could be solved if we go back and live by the Constitution of the United States of America. Did you hear that, Congress? Did you hear that, President? Did you hear that, Supreme Court? If we live by it, see, the Constitution was set up to show the government what their job was and what their rights were, and to show the people what their rights were, and they were not to conflict. Everybody doing all right? That's why we divided up into a multicameral system to where you had the House, the Senate, and the White House, and no one of the three had more authority over the other. Also, it had a Supreme Court that was supposed to rule but not make law. We've gotten in trouble by allowing government to get too big, too powerful, and allowing the Supreme Court to make law, not judge the law that was already there. Boy, that's good stuff. Did you know the Constitution said it for all men to be equal? That doesn't mean everybody had to be the same. Did you know that equality did not mean finances? Equality meant that you had the same equal rights, justly speaking, and the same opportunities. Did you know it's not the government's job to make sure that Bob Kellerman makes the same amount of money as Rich Stoltz? Not the government's job. It's not the government's job to make sure that Rich Stoltz and, let's see here, Hmong Watson make the same money. Now, if they're going to do the same job, justice says they make the same money. But if they're not equally qualified, by the way, it doesn't say that because you work at McDonald's and flip hamburgers or drop French fries in a fryer, you're supposed to make $15 an hour. There's a reason it's called an entry-level job. It's not supposed to be a life's wage. Okay, moving on. Bible doctrine is a skeleton for the Christian for life. That's why religion is so varied, because man wraps it and overwraps it and changes it, and that's where things get in trouble. Now, I got to hurry. So, number one, black and white is a skeleton. The outside is as individual as people. Number two, too many of us do something. I'm going to show you something here, and I think you'll understand. Everybody see that? What is that? Okay. Just a white piece of paper, right? What's the difference between that piece of paper and that piece of paper? Here's how most, everybody look at this. Most people look at life this way and say, well, there's a black dot on that piece of paper. That is a worthless piece of paper. You want to live black and white. Did you know that that paper is still usable? Did you know that the only difference between that piece of paper and that piece of paper is one's on the floor and one's not? Thank you, sir. Is one little dot. Why is it we'll look at somebody's life and say, did you see the dot in their life? Did you see what they did? That person has a dot in their life, and they're never going to come out of that. Well, I don't know about you. If I showed you my outline right now, I have whiteout all over it. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got 9 spots of whiteout on my sermon outline because I write them out by hand. Should I throw the whole thing away each time I make a mistake? I don't have the time to go back and rewrite it without a mistake, and probably I'd make more mistakes rewriting it. You see, so many of us focus on that one little spot, we forget that 99.999% of the rest of that is usable and okay. Why is it we focus on the spot and not the rest of the paper? I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about reclaiming and using everything possible. Did you know I could use that as a sermon? Fold that thing in half and I could write my sermon out. I could work it to where either that little spot was between the lines, or I put a line right through it, or I put a word on one side and a word on the other side. I'm not going to let one little spot on a piece of paper not allow me to use that piece of paper. Everybody see what I'm talking about? Now, it may not be a showpiece, but it's still usable. You see, we tend to see the spot and not all the usable good around it. And we waste a lot by just seeing the spot. Let's learn that not all of life is spotless, including your own life. Did you know you're not spotless? You're spotless in God's eyes, but you're not spotless. If you've been saved, your sin has been cared for, but may I say this, your life has been spotted by the flesh. Do you know that not everybody grows like you? Did you know two people can eat the same meal? One will like it and one won't. Not everybody's taste is the same. Did you know not everyone grows as fast as you grow? I'm growing more rapidly now than I ever have. But I'm not going up. I'm going to adopt what Brother Hiles said. I'm losing weight. It started here. It's dropped to the midsection. If I live long enough, hopefully it'll come out of my feet and I won't have it anymore. Hopefully that thing keeps dropping, amen? Now wait a minute. Did you know you can plant 10 kernels of corn in a field and those 10 plants in a row won't come out the same size? They won't have the same number of ears on them. The ears won't be the same size. They're not identical. And they're only a few feet apart. They're planted in succession down a row. Say why? Because not everything grows exactly the same. You know, not everyone knows the same thing you know, good or bad. You know, we're not to judge people by what we know. We're to judge people according to the Word of God. Too many of us want to judge somebody by what we know, not by what the Word of God says. We want to judge people by our experience, not by the experience of the Word of God. Well, I just don't see how. Okay, you don't see how, but God does. Well, I just don't understand why God. You're not God. Everybody doing all right? We tend to view life and we see the spot. And we say, because we've got this spot, everything is worthless. That's not true. It is not true. Just because your life has some spots on it doesn't mean that it's worthless. God can still use you. God wants to use you. Let's quit focusing on everybody's spots. And let's just start seeing what God can do and use us. Number three, and I'm done. None of us are as good as we think we are. None of us are as good as we think we are, for all have sinned. Guess what? I'm a sinner just like you are. I'm not a Catholic church lover in any sense of the word, as you can tell. But I think one of the funniest things, there's been a few popes in history that call themselves Pope Pius. I think it's funny. They were the only honest ones in the group. They think because they've reached a position that they no longer can sin. That's filth. I went to Bible college in 1980, none of your business. I went to college in 1985, and there was a little pocket of guys in the dorms. First year I was there, Brother Hiles came out, and he sent about 10 or 11 guys home from chapel. I'm not talking about they lived in the local area. He said, "You're expelled. Get out of here." Because they were going around the dorms teaching that they had gone days and weeks and months without sinning. That they could live a sinless, perfect life if you just yielded enough. Brother Hiles said, "Bad doctrine, get out of here." He booted him out of college. I don't think he should have done it. Well, he didn't have bad doctrine in the college. Remember that, Brother Stoltz? That was fun. Now, wait a minute. At the same time, listen to this statement. At the same time, it was very popular in the mid-80s for all the different colored shirts, you know, and the pastels and all that kind of thing. And some of the guys were even wearing pink shirts. Did you know there's nothing in the Bible that says it's a sin for a man to wear a pink shirt? Now, just so you know, it's not my preference. But there is nothing in the Bible that says it's sinful. And there was battles going. There were guys getting in fist fights over it. Brother Hiles came out to the college and said, "Look, that's enough. This is over. This is stupid." He said, "I'm going to make a rule just to settle things." He said, "But I want you to do this. Guys, we're not going to any longer have the fellas wear pink shirts." He said, "It's not because it's wrong, but I just need to settle this issue. But any of you that have a pink shirt, you bring it, and I'll buy it back for me." I think he was given like, how much? $10 a shirt. Back then, that's like about $30 a shirt now. There were guys going to the Goodwill store, picking them up 10 for a buck, taking them in to Brother Hiles. No, I was not one of them. But they were. But I loved Brother Hiles' justice in the situation. He said, "It's not wrong. We're going to make a rule that I can enforce. And it has to be an enforceable rule. And you bring me what does not meet that rule, and I'll give you the wherewithal to replace it." I appreciated that. Did you know that's how God is? Do you know if Bob Kellerman wears a pink shirt, he's not sinning? Now, if he puts lace on it, he and I are going to go to fists. Now, wait a minute. Just because a shirt's colored a certain way doesn't mean somebody... I mean, we had... It was a mess. You know, not everybody grows at the same rate. Do you know some of you would have struggles with certain kinds of music that maybe others would not because of the music background you came out of? Now, listen to this statement very carefully. We see our own weaknesses and temptations and get frustrated because somebody else is doing it because we think they're going to fall because that's our weakness and it may not be theirs. Let me say that again. Everybody listen, especially if you have children. When a dad struggles with one of his children, often it's because that dad struggles with a weakness he's watching that child do, and he does not want that child to struggle with that weakness like he does, but it doesn't mean that child has the same weakness dad has. Did you know that there are some preachers that will get up and they'll preach hard on a couple things because it's their weakness? And they'll let other things go. They may be strong enough to not let it bother them, but that's how their ministries start changing the older they get and when they leave and a new leader takes on. Everybody doing all right? Let me make this statement. If you missed everything, get this statement. You should not lead others the way you lead yourself. Men, listen to that statement. You should not lead others the way you lead yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty tough on me. I can look at me and say, hey, stupid, why did you do that? What in the world are you thinking? You ignoramus? What in God's name were you thinking? And I can get pretty hard on me. You know what? If my secretary does work this week and it's not exactly what I want, I'm not going to look at my secretary and say, hey, stupid, what are you doing? You say, why? I'm not supposed to lead her the way I lead me. By the way, be careful in your marriage, fellas, that you don't lead your wife the way you lead you. I was up at 4:30 this morning. I didn't look at my wife and say, bless God, woman, get out of bed. It's 4:30. Get up. Y'all doing okay? Say, did she get up? No, she didn't even move. Now, she says she knew I got up. Probably because I sounded like an elephant in the washroom. Banging and clanking and getting my shower and all that other stuff. That's her problem. She can sleep through it. I can't. Oh, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. Do you know that I don't lead my wife like I lead me? I'm hard on me. I don't lead my daughter like I lead me. Now, every once in a while, I'm one of those people, if I'm not half hour early, you know, I'm going to be there. Amen? I don't believe on being late to anything. And because I open the doors, I got to be here that much earlier. And I'm pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing for time. That's about as pushy as I get. Say, why? Because those are just certain things I have to do. But watch this. I don't lead them generally that way. My wife got me a new toolbox. The kids are out of the house. The boys are gone. And finally, I get to have a toolbox. Now, you men understand this. All of my sockets are in mason jars. My drill bits are in mason jars. My taps, my open-end box-end wrenches, they're everywhere. My wife got me this beautiful stackable toolbox on wheels, metal. It was supposed to be delivered. They delivered it. They didn't hear the delivery. I came home on Wednesday from work and said, honey, there's a package on the porch. And of course, it wasn't wrapped. So I knew what it was. I got to open my present on Wednesday. Nah, 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 nah. And I didn't even have to unwrap it. She didn't even wrap it. She just put it up by the tree. You already know what it is. Why waste paper? I didn't get to unwrap the stupid thing. Wait a minute. Christmas Day, my son and I took it downstairs. There was a little bit of assembly required to put the wheels on and stuff. Opened that thing up, you know, tore all the 14,250 pieces of foam out of it and got that thing up, turned it over, and when they shipped it, the whole bottom of it was crinkled. The one corner, both sides of the corner were just folded in and twisted and had a little J in it. Not sure this is going to work. Eventually found a pair of pliers and a crescent wrench. That's all I could find. Started, and I said, honey, this is not going to work. Okay, we'll take it back. You know what I did yesterday afternoon? We took it back. And then my daughter wanted to go shopping with the money she got for Christmas. Now, you don't understand. When I shop, we stopped at Dick's. I needed to get one thing while my wife was in another store, and Mindy went with me. Walked in the door, went this way, grabbed what I needed off the shelf, walked back out. I was in and out of that store in 3.5 to 4 minutes. That's shopping. Some of you women haven't even got your shoes wiped off at the door in that amount of time. You're just still standing there deciding which route you're going to take. Man, I'm in, out, got it over with and done, amen? Now that's the way I shop. But when we went to Walmart, it wasn't going to be that way because I had two women with me and I was taking them shopping. I decided I wasn't going to get into my mode. I got into their mode. We took the box back, got a new one. She called ahead. They had some in stock finally. Got one, got through the line, got it all redone. I took it out to the car while they started shopping. You say, what is that? That's called being expedient with my time. Amen. You start shopping, I'll find you. Of course, I got stopped on the way out, make sure I wasn't stealing the stupid thing. The guy knew I brought one in, and he wants to see whether I'm taking it back out, and I've, okay, no problem. Got out, put it in the car, came back in, found them, and walked around with my hands in my pocket real slow, enjoying my wife and my daughter. Did you enjoy shopping? I enjoyed being with my wife and my daughter. It's not what we were doing, it's who I was with. I decided I wasn't going to lead them like I lead me. You know, we often think everybody sees life through our eyes. My wife and daughter don't view color the way I view color. And sometimes they even laugh at me and hurt my widow feelings. But you know what? You know, Brother Barnes and I don't always view life the same way. That doesn't mean Brother Barnes is wrong and I'm right. It just means we have a different viewpoint. Brother Mike and I don't always view life the same way. It doesn't mean he's right and I'm wrong. It just means we're looking at it from different angles. Did you know when we build our building, it's not going to be exactly the way you would have done it? Just get over it. It's not going to be exactly the way I would have done it in places, I'm sure. I'm going to have to give and take a little. I'm going to take more than I get. I mean, we're going to, now I'll have a general structure that I need to accomplish. How we go from there, did you know we might not pick out the colors and the carpet and all of the fixtures exactly the way you would have for your house, but it's not your house, it's God's. Do you know more people visit God's house in 1 week than visit your house all year? There are some things you do for the sake of the volume of people. Everybody doing all right? Okay. There's only one way to heaven. God gives us a guidebook on which to live. But let me say this. I'm not for everybody believing what you want to believe. But may I say this? Some of it is people need to have time to grow. And just because you grew faster than somebody else appears to be growing doesn't mean you were right and they were wrong. Not everybody's going to grow at the same pace. Do you know that I have learned from the mistakes of ministries in years gone by? I am glad God gave me the last years of Dr. Jack Hiles. He made all his mistakes. He improved on all of his mistakes, and I got the end of his ministry. He saved me a lot of grief. Oh, you don't improve on God. That's your guidebook. That's your guidebook. We don't need to rewrite it. We don't need the NIV, the RSV, the ASV, or the HIV. We need the old King James Bible. Man wants to rewrite it to adapt it to man. No, you adapt man to what God said. That's how simple it is. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? If not, that Bible says there's a way for you to know that for sure. You don't have to walk out those doors unsure of heaven. It's that simple. It is. You can live black and white, but just realize your black and white might be gray to somebody else. Living a black and white life in a gray world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, and I won't embarrass you, I won't call you out just like I did not call them out, but who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not really 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? Okay. who is a preacher somewhere tucked away in that truth today was something that I personally needed. God spoke to my heart about it. There's something that I needed in that today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand. When the music begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand for any reason, why didn't you come? If you raised your hand saying you needed to get saved and know for sure you're going to heaven, we can take care of that today. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We can care for that today. But whatever the need, maybe you just want to come and pray. You say, well, somebody might think I'm a sinner. Nope, we already know it. Don't worry about it. We're all sinners. Doesn't mean something's wrong in your life. It just means something God touched in your life and you want to get it right.